I had prayed to be a manager of a, you know, of a bar and grill. And then it kind of like, it didn't happen. So I figured, well, it's not going to happen because, you know, whatever. And then I kind of forgot about it. And now that it's seeming to happen, it looks like that's what's going to happen. I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of don't want it, right? Because you know, of what I see in the natural of these managers just falling down. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't want to. And I've been kind of resistant. And I've even said, people have been like, Lionel, why aren't you a manager? And I'm like, well, you know, it's not for me. I don't want to be. And but the Lord has been pushing me. And so I've tried to obey and do what I need to do. And in the midst of reading this story, you know, you read how, you know, this guy was doing his job, doing what he needed to do. And on the other side, the guy kept changing the rules, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And, you know, in the midst of my situation, I'm not really getting paid what I feel I need to get paid. But that's in the natural. And I got to remember, and what y'all need to remember, too, is that we don't work for the people of this world. We do our work for God. Amen. Right? All right. Cool, yeah. Now I'm preaching. But yeah, because, you know, sometimes, and it's tough, you know, it really is, because, you know, you see everyone, you know, they get to do these things and they get to like neglect certain situations. And, but I can't, you know, it's like my aunt unfortunately told me this thing about the spirit of excellence, and you just, there's no slacking in the spirit of excellence. And, you know, and I try to work in slacking as much as I can in the natural, you know, in the natural. So, you know, it's because, you know, you walk by a piece of trash that 10 people have walked by, but the Lord speaks to me to pick it up. Yeah. And I'm like, why? Why me? How come that dude couldn't pick it up for us? Lord, no, it's not, didn't work that way. So I've been struggling lately, you know, and the Lord has got me in a place where, you know, I've been doing a lot of work, and I'm like, discouraged, because, you know, I see what I'm getting paid, and it's hard, because in the natural, it's, you know, you got natural needs, and, you know, but I've been trying to remain in the spirit. So that's what I want to preach to you today is when you go to work, you need to leave the place better than when you found it. When you go to work, it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. You need to set the standard for what God has, high standards, right? And not everybody's going to have those high standards, and you need to trudge forward. You know what I mean? For those of you who don't know what trudge forwards mean, soldiers, when they're walking in the mud and they got their boots and they're trudging forward, it's not easy to walk. You're not walking on a flat ground where you got mud on your, it's holding you back, and you got to pick up your foot. That's trudging forward. And I'm in that situation right now. Amen. And it's tough, but I thank God that in the spirit I will be rewarded for what I'm doing. You know, that God's always looking at me, like when I'm picking up this trash, and I feel alone when I'm out there doing these things. You know, I'm like, you know, I pick it up. Oh, here's just me, Lionel. You know, whatever. But I know that God's watching, and I know it. But in the natural, the enemy will always remind you how much you don't have. And not only that, in your closest circles, people will remind you what you don't have, and the people closest to you, you won't find encouragement there. In fact, if anything, you're going to find most, like with Job and his wife, and said, just curse God. That was his wife. That wasn't just, you know what I mean, a neighbor. That was his circle. That was his the person that he leans on. Just curse God. That was her advice to him. So sometimes you'll find yourself standing alone. Just looking up like, what's going on? What do I do? And sometimes, you know, you don't hear his voice right away. Sometimes you just got to know that you know that he's going to be there for you when the time comes. Right? Amen? All right. So I'm finding that when I was looking for the speckled and spotted sheep thing, that it was like, you know what, this is my situation. And not just mine, but a lot of people. Because it's hard, you know, I mean. And then the thing is, I've been hearing rumors, and I'm not going to say anything other than that, hearing rumors about the guy that I work for maybe not be living up to his end of the bargain on certain things. You know, I hear from certain situations that, you know, he's maybe doing these things, and I can't go down that road of believing that I am like some of those managers that fell. I have to believe that I'm special, that whatever happened to them is not going to happen to me. You know what I mean? And the Lord reminds me of that, because he'll tell me, he goes, you think that's what I have planned for you? And sometimes, oh, I don't know what you have planned for me. You know what I mean? I don't, but I'm out here, you know what I mean? And sometimes I feel like, you know, like remember in Star Wars when that trash compactor was just pushing those people? I just feel like I'm just being pushed. And I was like, no, I don't want to go, Jesus. But I'm being pushed. I'm just being pushed. And I'm getting pushed out of my comfort zone into an area where I have to, where people are looking to me for questions and answers, and maybe, you know, I don't feel like, is this for me? Should I be doing this? Because you question and you doubt yourself. Can I do this job? You know, Lord, and you ask these questions, and sometimes he doesn't answer right away. You just got to know that he's going to be there for you, and I'm believing that. And I'm sharing that. Normally, I don't share that with you. Normally, I will just say a message of like, hey, God is good. He's going to be there. Bet. Right? That's all I'll usually say. I'm opening up to show you that I have these fears myself. You know what I mean? It's not all hunky-dory. Yeah, there's some trouble. And I just wanted to share that with you, that in the midst of your job, it's that just going to work is not enough. Sometimes, you know, you got to go beyond the line of duty. You have to do more than you're supposed to do, because that's what God has called us to do. So I encourage y'all to trudge forward. And I know everyone has different things they got to deal with. You know what I mean? Different people. You know, everyone goes to work, and you have that one person just like, oh, Lord, this is a person. Hello. Why can't he be sick today, Lord? Why can't this person just not be here? But no, that person will miss every other day except the day that he works with you, right? Or he or she. And but that person is there. I heard a pastor say, the people like that are like soil on top of you that you need to grow through, right? Because if you're going to be a tree or a beautiful flower, I like to consider myself a tree, not a flower, but a tree, you know, strong. So if you're gonna go out, you can't just grow. You gotta grow through something. You gotta, you know, break the surface of certain things and keep rising. And it's not easy, and it can be hard, it can be painful, and it could be, you know, stretching, and it's not easy. So I encourage you to just stick with it and trust that the Lord will be there, because that's what I'm doing right now. Like I said, I look at my paychecks and I look at what I'm doing, and it's like that it doesn't add up. But at the end of it, I can look up and say, Lord, I know you're keeping track of everything. And I know, Lord, that you are going to bless me despite what's going on here in the natural. Father, you will rain down on me in the supernatural. Woo. Man, it feels good to open up to y'all like that, because this is something that I kind of held, and then I was like, well, let me see what's the message I'm going to preach today. And it's like, you know, and the Lord just said, look, this is for you too. This is not just for everyone else. This is directly for you. I know what you're going through. And so when he does come through, I guarantee you I'll bring my 10% plus a little more, and I'll bring it to the offering. Why? So he can bless it. Why? So I can be rich. Because that's how we get rich. Right? Amen? Amen? All right. Well, I'm going to end my message there. And I thank you guys for listening to me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So much. It's interesting how God gave you that, Lionel. Because the topic that I'm going to discuss is about Jacob. So, you have your envelopes. I know we've passed them out. I want you to make sure you have your envelopes ready. But we're going to give our tithes and offering at the end of the service, okay? Make sure you have them written out. If you need to make a PayPal deposit, you can see Michael in the back. We'll do that. We'll take your credit card payments. If you need to write write over the deed to some land, we'll take that as well. Someone has brand new Ford F-250 2014. We'll take that as well. Just saying, because he may put that on your heart. He may just say, Pastor wants an iPad. iPad, and just saying, that's offering. Because I know God can come through for everybody. I told God, you bless me and bless me richly, I will give cars away, houses away. I'll give money away. I don't know about you, but you can't outgive God. Well, you try. Watch. Try. Amen. Keep God busy. Keep those angels just going, man, this guy's giving so much. We got to keep giving him more. Then the next thing you know, the country is out of its debt because of the church. Hallelujah. Get your sword. This is your sword. This is your sword right here. Let me explain something to you. This is your sword. When you've got to go to battle with what you don't know what you're fighting up against, this is your sword. When you bring out the word of God, your sword, it will divide, it will cut, and it will remove everything that is not of God away from you. Out of your area of influence and out of your money, out of your home, out of your children, your word of God is your sword. Are you ready to go to battle? Because we're going to go to battle with the sword. Amen. Get your Bible and go to Genesis 27, if you would, please. Genesis 27. 27, verse 41. 27, verse 41. The message, the title of this message is, When You're Tired. When You're Tired. This is about Jacob. Let me preface this to let you know more about what's going on here. This is Jacob and Esau. They are brothers. They're actually twins. Jacob and Esau were wrestling in the womb before they even came out, and Jacob was constantly having to wrestle with his brother. You read on later in the story, you find out that Jacob's always fighting. He's always deceiving. He's always trying to do things to get ahead. So there's turmoil in this boy, Jacob. Jacob has a tendency to do things that are unorthodox, but God uses him. So here we're going to start in Genesis 27, verse 41. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." "Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Now when the words of the elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I shall send and get you from there. Why should I bereaved of you both in one way?" Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth like these, from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" Go back to verse 46. Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am tired." Say, "I'm tired." I am tired. Go to Genesis 28 and verse 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there. Say night. Because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and laid down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder. Say ladder. Ladder. Say ladder. Ladder. Say away. Was set on the earth with its top reaching the heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth and shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true. I thank you that it gives sustenance to our soul and our spirit, God. But I thank you that it gives us life, sustaining power to endure to the end, even when we're tired. Father, I just thank you for your blessing of your word. We continue to honor you, God, by applying the word to our life. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Did you notice there when Mama said, I'm tired. Jacob is having to run from his brother because there's a plot to kill him because of the things that Jacob actually did, deceived him, did all kinds of things. So as he's running away, he's getting to a place in the desert, but at night he comes to rest because he's tired. How many of you are tired? I ask you again, how many of you are tired? Yes. You're tired of some of the certain people that kind of rub you the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Can we break it down for real? Are you tired of the people that don't actually want to do the things they're supposed to do and you constantly have to pick up the slack for them? Don't look at your spouse. Don't do that. You're just trouble. Have you ever gotten so tired that you just got to say, I just need to rest just for a minute? You know, when the phone calls start coming in, you're like, and you just don't want to answer the phone because you know that phone call is going to set you off. Have you ever been tired of someone that always has a tendency to give you a call and give you bad news every single time? Have you ever been so tired of not having enough? And you got to tell your children, baby, we can't do it because we don't have enough. Are you tired of just working and doing so much in your life, but you just can't see the end of this thing? Uh-huh. Are you tired? Yeah. Are you tired of plowing, drudging through, but you just can't make it to the other side because opposition is always right there with you? When you want to do good, evil is at your side to try to take you the other way. Are you tired? And if you're tired, it's okay to be tired, to look and say, someday my prophecies will come to pass. Someday, what was promised to me will be manifested for me. But I'm tired of the waiting. How many of you are tired of waiting? How many of you are tired of always having to get up, press through and pray and fast and ask God, when, God? Because I'm tired. Have you ever been so tired that you don't even want to get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do today to make something different happen for my life? Are you tired? Have you ever been to the point you're so tired you can't even think straight? You can't even see straight. Your head begins to hurt so bad that you can't even focus anymore because you said, if I pray another prayer and it doesn't even come through, if I even have to go to God before the throne of grace but don't feel grace, you have to start crying for mercy because you start praying and praying and praying and see no results. Have you ever been just tired? Jacob was tired, and he had to get to a place at night, when you can't see anything, and he is alone at that. Have you ever felt alone in your night seasons? Have you ever felt alone when you're going through something, and you're like, I've been praying and praying and praying, but nothing's happening? Have you ever felt like everything is coming against you? In your night season, you can't even see what's going on. Matter of fact, you don't even have a place to stay because it's just so bad. Jacob didn't find a place of rest. He just settled. He settled in the desert somewhere, put his head on a rock. I just happened to go camping a couple months ago with my sons. And Daddy forgot to pack pillows for the tent. So we get real creative by putting our shoes underneath our heads, putting our, duffel bags, just so that we can support our head. I don't know about you, but if you ever tried to sleep without a pillow, your neck begins to hurt. I just so happened to be just sleeping on my shoes, Fina, and it wasn't comfortable. Much less to sleep on a rock, it's not comfortable. But why would he say, I chose a rock, put it under my head, and I slept with my head on a rock? See, sometimes we've got to be at that place, even when it's our night season and we're alone, and we're running for our lives, to save our life, that we have to rest on the rock. That's Jesus. We have to rest on him. Watch this. It's not comfortable having to rest on him in this tired season of your life. Where your brother, look, say brother. Brother. You know, the one that's supposed to love you through and be there for you to help you. You know, your brother. You know, the ones that are in church sometimes. Well, I'll say it like I need to say it then. Sometimes the ones you need to look for help are the ones that come against you. Sometimes we've gone through circumstances in our life that the one that's supposed to be there for us is not there for us. They actually become against us. And when they come against us, how are we going to find any kind of rest? Especially when you're tired. See, during this season, it's summertime. And he's out in the wilderness. And he lays his head on a rock. See, the Bible says in Isaiah that God will make a way where there is no way. Watch this, what he begins to say to him. He says, I am the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. Did he say the God of Jacob? Oh, but you know, in scripture later it says that I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. But not right now. How many times do you feel like, God, do you even hear my prayers? This is real talk today. You know, when you've been praying and you're praying to the point where you just, I don't know what to pray. I'm tired of trying to stumble for words on how to pray. Tired of trying to look for a God that I have yet to ever see. Tired of praying and praying, but yet we see no results. There's many of us today that go through that. We go through it. It's a certain season of our life, it's usually our darkest season of our life, that you just can't see the promises come to you. But what he learned is that if he just rested on God, what he realized was something that God was making a way. If you read right there in the scripture, that when he fell asleep, the heavens opened up and a ladder came down that reached from the heavens down here to earth. Jacob saw that God was making a way of connection between God and man. And when he made that way, he saw the angels ascending and descending. Now, you got to understand that the angels are there for your bidding. They're here to work for you. That's what the angels are here for. And if you pray to God, say, God, I just need my stuff to manifest. I need some things done in my life that I haven't seen yet come to full manifestation. I'm tired. And I need to be able to get some rest. And when I rested on you, you told me whose God you were, but I wasn't mentioned in that. But then Jacob realized something. He realized that God made a way for him. And then he blessed him. He says on verse 14, your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west, into the east, into the north, into the south. In you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a great blessing right there to Jacob. And Jacob had a tendency to be a little knucklehead at times. See, he wrestled with his brother in the womb. He was always fighting. There was always turmoil. Then he takes his brother's birthright away just for a pot of beans. See, and then he steals the blessing from the father by dressing up like his brother and then taking the blessing from the father. So now he's already a thief. He's stealing. He's lying. But yet God is going to bless him. What did Esau do? Nothing. And Esau didn't get that blessing. But Jacob had a way. Jacob had a way with God. And God saw how he needed Jacob to be the way he is to get across to him what he needed. I said the other day, your character and your ways, the way you are, let God use that. Now, don't get it all twisted now. Well, you mean like when I used to carry on with my drugs? No, he ain't saying that. If you don't like people telling you what to do when you know it's wrong, why do you think you're going to come into God, and then they're going to tell you all kinds of lies, and you're not going to call it out where before you would have? Right? Because before you would say, man, you're nothing but a liar. Well, now you got saved. Now you don't want to tell the truth. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings, but you're going to let them be in sin like that. So I know what you're talking about, and it's false. God was using Jacob the way he is and blessed him and blessed his descendants. It is not until later into Exodus 3:1-6 where Jacob now goes to Mount Horeb, where it's a mountain of God, and there's where he wrestles with God and changes his name from Jacob to Israel. Before you ever get a chance to do something, how many of you have wrestled with God? You like really wrestle, like, Lord, me and you, God, me and you. But eventually, we finally just give in, don't we? We just, okay, I give. I can't beat you. I just tried. Jacob did the same thing. What your name? What your name? He wanted to know what his name was after he just ripped up his hip and changed his name from Jacob to Israel. But it isn't until later that he becomes the God of Jacob. You may go through what you're going through and being tired of what you're being tired of. You're so tired of it because you haven't seen anything change. You haven't seen it change. You know, you go into your closet and it's still the same clothes. Like, you're going to be very creative with all these kind of accessories to make it look different. But you're just tired of wearing jeans and just a different shirt and the same shoes like for 6 months. And you're just tired. Now, I remember when I used to work at Kenny's Shoe Store, my first job. Got a pair of black slacks, a pair of blue slacks, and one blue jacket. The jacket was the same on every day. The only way you change it up is you change the shirt, but you're wearing the same pants anyhow. You know how we do. We change ties or we change pocket squares just to make that jacket look different, but it's the same jacket. It's so shiny. Because, you know, you got to make it look good so you iron it and it gets real shiny. You put so much of that Niagara thing, what's called starch. Nice and shiny. It's the same jacket. The only different look now is a different shirt or a different tie. Don't you get tired? Don't you say, I want a new jacket. Yeah. Or don't you get tired of going to Lock and Terra Mall? Someday. Why are we here? Yeah. You know, you ain't got no money and you're going to the mall. You're putting yourself through torture. But sometimes you go get that ice cream at the mall. You're like, it's how much? No, baby, we're going to go to Hill Country Fair at HEB. Mm-mm. You get that ice cream sandwich just like the same that's over here. You can enjoy it at your home as many as you want. But you're going Lock and Terra Mall just looking and getting just mad. And then, if you just so happen to walk and catch a glare of yourself in the mirror, no ice cream, Diet Coke, and then you see what you really want, and you just can't have it, and that make you mad. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You go to that store, you know that store, the one you really like. And they just so happen to have a sale that day. And you still can't buy it. And then, did you get the coupon in our mailer that we sent you? with coupon and sale, and you still can't buy it. Lord. I'm tired. Well, yeah. But I'm your son. When I go to La Cantera, I don't want to just go walk around the mall for exercise. I don't want to do a drive-by every single store and not go in. I want to be able to go in. Baby, what you want? You want a shirt for this weekend? Get it. Aren't you tired? The body of Christ is tired. Where the wicked can do what they want to do with their money and not fear that it's gone. But yet we're counting every penny, every dollar, every dime. And we got to tell our children, no, we can't go to Fiesta, Texas this weekend. Aren't you tired? Maybe I know it's hot in our car. We just got to go through it. Keep those windows down. Just drive. Let's just get to where we're going. And we can cool off. And you happen to look behind you and you see the red faces of your children just sweating and hot. You've been tired. You've been tired of being done wrong to the point you just don't understand why God would allow it. You've been tired. You look to see what are we going to do different this year. Lord, I promise everything that you give me, a tenth, I'll give to you. And then you give your tenth. It seems like you struggle to even give the tenth because that could pay a bill. Or it could be groceries. It could be a shirt for your son or for your daughter. Because you know, as parents, you won't even buy for yourself, you buy for your kids. More sacrifice if you get tired. Why is it that we go through this? Why is it that God allows us to be in this place that we can't get past it? And then right when you think you're about to come out, it's like, whew. It's just stripped. And you can't get it. But yet you were so close to grabbing it. And it's gone. What's the point? Doesn't it seem like your dreams have all just kind of just go right before your eyes? Mama was tired. She was tired. She was tired of all the turmoil that was taking place in her own home. She was tired of the women around her children. That's what it said, but you didn't read it right. Tired of these women wanting my child. Go to another land, to where my brother is, and choose a wife for yourself there. Mama was tired. So for you children in here, your parents want the best for you. Sometimes it doesn't make sense why you've got to go someplace else to get something that you could get close to you. Not everybody is going to be the one for you. And your parents are just making sure you make the right decision. Because they don't want to be tired. Do you understand? God is going to come through. He's going to make a way. When the ladder came down from heaven, he made a way. He made a way that would connect us to blessings. The angels came and received our praise, took it up to God, and blessings came down. He made a way that would be perpetual for us and continual. You never read that it closed. You never read that the window closed and that the ladder departed. Matter of fact, he set that same rock up and he made a monument there. He says, this is God's place. This is the gate of heaven right here. Can you rest on God? Even when it's hard. I struggled last night all night until this morning at what's going on in my body. I don't know. I don't understand this. What is going on in my body? Something got a hold of me last night, and I fought until I came out of my room today. What is it, God? What is it? He says, Moses, I want you to deliver my people. Deliver my people out of their bondage. It's okay for them to be tired. It's okay for them to be weary. It's okay for them to want to give up so that I can show my strength on their behalf, my faithfulness on their behalf. Say, God, but why do I have to feel this way? For some of y'all may understand this. I felt like someone gave me ojo. I said, Lord, why? Someone give me ojo. I haven't done nothing. Feel like everything just comes against me. I don't have nothing. I struggle just like them. Why? Haven't you asked those questions? Why do people come against me when I ain't got things that they should want? Why do they come against me and I don't have but what I have right now? Isn't it just odd on how so many people come against you? How many of you have people that come against you? Raise your hand. Look. That's everybody here. There's something that's off. Now, that doesn't mean people are not going to come against you. But if we are all children of God, we should always be for our brother and sister. We really should. But there's some changes that are coming. There's changes. I was reading, I like to go through and I research certain things that I'm going to preach. And now, y'all all know the story about the Israelites that came out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea, correct? And then when they all, millions of them, got over to the other side, Pharaoh's army pursued, correct? And then it just covered them up with the waters, and they perished, right? What of Pharaoh's army followed the Israelites? Was it just the people, or was it chariots? Chariots, right? Okay, I still have it. I was researching it earlier. There is a gentleman that did some research and went down to the Red Sea and did some exploring, went diving. He went to the areas, I forget his name, I took it off there. But he did some research. He went diving down in the Red Sea. And they dove down, and they found wagon, chariot wheels. They bring it to surface, and they take it into Egypt to have it, you know, what you call it, to see when it was, to date, you know, the date. They says, during the time of Pharaoh's reign, when a Pharaoh's reign, it was dated 18 B.C. He says, this would make a point that when the Israelites crossed over in all these chariots, because this is the middle of the sea. Why would the chariots wheels be there to begin with? And there's proof to it. The Bible says in Revelation that the earth will reveal the secrets and the truth of God. The truth of God. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians, it says that I will use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, the wisdom, the mindsets. And what is about to take place, guys, I don't care what atheist that is out there that doesn't want to believe in Jesus Christ, the proof of this Bible to be true will continually reveal itself. Amen. Continually. Amen. There is going to be more proof that the Bible is true by the revealing of the earth. The earth is crying out for the truth to be revealed. Now, I spoke to a pastor friend of mine Friday morning. He was telling me that when he was reading the word, he said that the Lord told him, he says, I want you to read how I want you to reach out to the Jewish people. And he said, that's just kind of odd. Why the Jewish people? That's your people. Do you know that most Christians do not know how to evangelize to the Jews? We're so out there for the Greeks and everybody else. In other words, everybody else except the Jews. So I asked him, I said, well, how do you evangelize to the Jews? He says, the only thing that they know of Jesus is Yeshua. Yeshua. They just don't believe that he is the actual Savior because of certain events. So he says that there's a lady in the church that is doing classes on how to evangelize to the Jews. And he says, you know, it's very powerful because the Bible says that once you evangelize to the Jews, you're evangelizing to the heart of God. To the heart of God, his chosen people. But yet we get caught up with just evangelizing with our gifts to certain individuals. God wants to get a hold of everybody. He says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Our job and our responsibility is to reach out to others and teach them about Jesus Christ. Okay? That's our job. I know that in months to come, months, not years, months, you're going to be seeing on CNN and local broadcast news that the earth is revealing even more things that are going to show this to be true. To be true. We are in the days that people call the last days, and we've been in the last days for many years. But there is a move of God that is about to take place, and I believe that we are on the just right on the very edge of this move. Right on the very edge. And we have to be in position to receive. Now here's what I was getting at with Jacob. He was in the desert wandering to get to another place. And when he rested on God, God revealed to him his identity and his blessing. It didn't happen right away. Matter of fact, he had to go, when he got to Laban, he was supposed to find a wife there. He had to work extra 7 years to get the wife. First gave him the crooked eye one. Remember that? He didn't want that one. But he got that one, then got the other one. Do you see? And then he had to work extra hard to get that. We're coming into a place that we're not going to have to work hard to get the blessing of God. That's been done before. We're going to come into a place where God is going to move on our behalf because of our faithfulness to him. Now, people are all talking about revival, revival, revival. There is going to be an outpour before a revival. This outpour is going to be an outpour of blessings. And I'm prophesying right now to you. There's going to be an outpouring of blessing into the church. Into the church. When the church gets blessed, now let me just say it to you this way. When you hear of, I don't care what church, you hear of a church get so blessed, guess what happens? Everybody starts to come. What's going on at that church? Yeah. Yeah, let me just see what's going on. Let me just get connected. Guess what? The moment they step in and they want to get connected, God releases it to them. Yeah. Don't you think God can use money to get us? Because if he's to show up right now, money starts falling from heaven right here. Oh, yeah, yeah, y'all would lose all y'all sanity. And y'all would be pushing people over just to get all those dollars on the floor. But I believe without a shadow of doubt that God is about to release blessings into the body of Christ. Blessings. Why? Because for too long, people been watching church folks. They've been watching church folks walk around like this. Woe is me. And saying, I'm tired. I'm tired. But when he releases, oh, shh. I got mine. And when you get yours, guess what? He's not a respecter of person. He'll do for others. So when he blesses his church, he will bless the people, and many others will come to it to witness the blessing of God. And that is your greatest opportunity to reach out and capture those souls for God. It's happening. I know it. I know it. I can feel it. It's happening. It's happening. Some of us have waited for a long time for healing in our body. Healing in our children's bodies. Some of us have been waiting for healing in our families as a whole to be reunited. God says, I'm about to release my favor on you. Favor is unmerited grace. It's just given, not for your acts, your deeds, anything else. Just because he loves you, he releases it to you. He brought the Israelites out of their bondage because he saw the affliction of his people. The affliction of his people. We're being afflicted. We've been afflicted. We've gone through seasons. We've gone through dispensations. We've gone through everything that we know to go through, but we just haven't come out. But we're coming out. Yeah. We're coming out. How did the Israelites come out? With signs and wonders following. And they came out with so much gold, jewelry. They even had to tell them, hey, whoa, that's enough is enough. So much. The first five books, the Pentateuch of this Bible, tells you everything about Jesus Christ. Everything. The other parts of the Bible just gives you accounts of who he really is. He's here to show you that he is your Savior. He's your Redeemer. He heard the afflictions of the Israelites and in bondage from the Egyptians, and he brought them out. And when he told Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, he brought them out of their bondage. Jacob was tired. His mama was tired. So when it came to Moses, the people were tired. God is bringing his people out of their bondage. Some of those bondages may be health and wealth. Some of those bondages may be our vices that have a hold of us. But he's bringing us out. He's bringing us out. Are you excited?
Yes.
Amen. So that when we can go to La Quintera next time, we can get the gelatos. We can go to the restaurants and eat and not just get a salad. You can go and get what you really want. Do you understand? God wants the best for us. He really does. This isn't a prosperity message. This is a promise message. When you're tired, God comes through. And he's coming through for us at a greater level than we've ever imagined. The Bible says, no ear has heard, no eye has seen, nor has it even entered the heart of man. He's going to do it, guys. He is. I pray that you have an understanding. If you're at that place of being tired, you're in a good place. Rest on God. Rest on him. And he's going to open up the window of heaven for you. And he's going to make a way for you. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Jesus.